Rig kapıdan mı diyor? Ha? Rig kapı mı mane? Da sen, sen bir yetin, sen bir mimbar. Bir de öyle demiyorsun. Sen bir dövü. Anı sen bir şeyle. O da o demeli. Dedi ki de,
So we've been, we've discussed a great deal about lineage. We've discussed it in terms of the quality, its potential, its results, and its function. So the reason that lineage is explained is to help us to develop enthusiasm, but it's also in terms of how can we practice lineage. So the necessity for the discussion of lineage is to emphasize that we each as individuals, and in fact all sentient beings, possess the quality of mind whereby we have the ability to generate all the excellent qualities and to eliminate all our various faults. So we as human beings possess a discriminative intelligence whereby if we were to make effort we can train in any subject that we wish and master it. And this is a unique quality that we possess. So it's necessary that we appreciate the fact that we have lineage, that we have this ability to eliminate our various faults and to develop all the excellent qualities, that we have this potential, thinking, you know, I have this great capacity. I can eliminate whatever faults I have, I can develop any quality. Whatever I seek to practice, I can attain that practice. So it's necessary that we appreciate our capacity, that we have this power, this potential. Previously, not knowing about our possession of lineage, we weren't able to appreciate it, we didn't know about it. But now, through this extensive discussion of lineage, we can begin to appreciate this potential, this capacity that we have, and we should take confidence in our own potentiality.
Lo
So appreciating our lineage, the in placing our body, our consciousness and our wisdom within a practice, we can find expression of our lineage. We give our lineage the space whereby it is able to find expression. And how do we go about giving it this expression? It is as we just recited the verse where we said, I go for refuge to the Buddha until I am enlightened, to the Dharma and to the highest assembly. That is to say, by initially going for refuge, we give our space for our lineage to find expression. So it is through the practices of refuge that we are able to allow our potentiality of lineage to find expression. But what is the way of in which it is expressed? And why hasn't our lineage found expression up to now? And you know that we have this potentiality. Why hasn't it been actualized? Because we haven't been able to remove all of the various inhibitory conditions, and to bring about all the conducive conditions for which it, by means of which it finds expression. So on the one hand, we have not our potentiality of lineage has not found expression because of inhibitory or contradictory types of conditions, and on the other, we have not brought about the necessary conducive conditions. So our lineage has not been able to evolve due to various inhibitory conditions. For example, as we've discussed previously, such conditions as the various afflictions, the afflictive emotions such as attachment, hatred, ignorance, along with their latencies, that these latencies exist as negative potentials within the mind, and due to these unskillful latencies, the lineage has been unable to evolve itself. Sa, And then on the other hand, the various conducive conditions whereby lineage is able to evolve. And these are, the conducive conditions are the creative potential, or that is to say merit, and skillful actions, which constitute accumulation. And accumulation is a gathering together of skillful actions. So again and again, creating skillful actions, creating, accumulating creative potential until we have amassed a great collection or accumulation. So there are these two parallel methods. One, on the one hand, removing the various afflictive obstructions, such as the negative latencies within the mind, and this is done through acknowledging our negative actions, that is, like, through the power of confession, or acknowledging our negativities, and then on the other hand, the accumulation of creative potential and skillful actions. And these two are found within the practice of refuge. So within the practice of refuge, there is the purification of the various negative latencies and propensities and the various obscurations through the practice of the acknowledging our negativities, negative actions created. And there is also the accumulation of creative potential and skillful actions. It is by this, by the gathering together of these, it is by the removal of the inhibitory conditions and the bringing about the conducive conditions that our lineage is able to find expression. Through the evolvement of our lineage, we are able to generate all the excellent qualities, achieve happiness, and eliminate all our suffering. So I'm going to explain how, by means of relying upon the practice of refuge, we can purify our various negativities and accumulate the necessary collection. So in the actual formula for which is recited, it says, I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the highest assembly. And the Buddha is an individual who has eliminated all their various faults and brought to consummation all their excellent qualities. And this empowers them to understand sentient beings, all sentient beings, in terms of what is the specific disposition and capacity of this particular sentient being, such that I am able, knowing this, they are able to teach that dharma which would be of most benefit for this particular person. For this particular person, this dharma teaching would be most beneficial. For this particular person, this dharma teaching would be most beneficial. And by whatever is of benefit, that is what the Buddha teaches through this understanding of the dispositions and capacities of sentient beings, teaching them what is to be adopted and what is to be rejected. So what is taught is the Dharma, and it is the Dharma which possesses the capacity whereby to rid ourselves of all that which is undesirable, the various faults, and to bring about all that which is desirable, all the excellent qualities. And that which brings about this is the Dharma. So it is the Dharma whereby we bring a cessation of all that is undesired, and we are able to achieve all that which is desired. So the main refuge is in fact the Dharma. The Dharma is our refuge from suffering. And then finally the spiritual community or the Sangha. So in order to carry on our practice of Dharma, that which is the actual refuge, it's necessary that we have companions or those who assist us in putting into practice the teachings as taught by the Buddha. And it is through this assistance in our practice, then we can bring our practice is able to unfold such that we can bring our practice to completion. Those who assist us and those who act as a companions in our practice and in helping us are the spiritual community or the Sangha. So if we were to make an analogy of, in terms of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. The Buddha is like a doctor. That is, a skilled physician in diagnosing one's ills. And through a diagnosis, a doctor prescribes a particular medicine and treatment. And this is are the various practices. In terms of the actual medicine and treatment, that the doctor may say, would tell us how to go about taking the medicine, when to take the medicine, what to eat, what not to eat, and would prescribe a means of treatment. And these are the various practices to cure ourselves of our ills. And in order that it is the medicine which is actually eliminating the suffering of the illness and the illness. But if we were in such a poor condition that we were unable to carry out the treatment for ourselves, then it's necessary to have some sort of assistant or helper, like a nurse. And these would aid us in the course of the treatment, and it would be by this means we would be able to regain our health and experience elimination of our sickness. Likewise, through the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, and the spiritual community, we can attain a state of happiness, bereft of any suffering, that is to say, liberation. And this is achieved by going for refuge to the Three Jewels. So a doctor is able to cure our bodily ills through the diagnosis and the prescription of medicine. We can be cured of the physical illnesses. But amongst various ills we have, there are both physical illnesses and illnesses of the mind. But the doctor is not able to eliminate the sicknesses of mind. And the medicine prescribed by the doctor is not able to cure the ills of the mind. And they are not able to cure the illnesses of the mind. And of the two, physical illnesses and the illnesses of the mind, in fact, the most virulent is our illnesses of the mind. We can temporarily be relieved of our physical illnesses, but they will always come back. But our illnesses of mind remain. So, as we mentioned, a doctor can only cure the ills of the body, and we have the ills of the mind, which bring us suffering. So we need a physician of the mind. And the Vicheshana of the mind must understand the very nature of the mind, how it is operating, its faults, and must be able to diagnose the ills of the mind and prescribe a medicine. And the medicine are the various practices. And in order to implement those practices, that is to say the treatment as outlined, it is necessary that we be assisted in being able to implement the practices as prescribed by the Buddha, the physician of the mind. What are the illnesses of the mind? There are said to be 84,000 ills of the mind. There are such ills as illnesses as attachment, hatred, jealousy, spite, miserliness. But they all meet back down to the one root illness of ignorance or misknowledge. So, corresponding to the 84,000 ills of the mind, there must be 84,000 remedies whereby to cure these ills of the mind. But if we were to condense these, we could include all of the 84,000 remedies into the three higher trainings, or special trainings, the higher training in ethics, meditative stabilization, and wisdom. And those who can prescribe us the medicine, you know, the medicine being the higher trainings in ethics, meditative stabilization, and wisdom. The hearers and the bodhisattvas, they are able to offer us some type of treatment, but they are not able to diagnose it and prescribe the ultimate method to cure our ills. Only a Buddha is able to do that. So there are the three jewels of refuge. The Buddha jewel is likened to the skilled physician who prescribes the medicine. And these are the various teachings and the teachings of the Dharma. Then the Dharma jewel are the actual teachings, which are the medicine of the mind. And these medicines are included within the three higher trainings, the higher training in ethics, meditative stabilization, and wisdom. And then in order to help us to put these three higher trainings into practice, is necessary that, and not only in the practice, but in accordance with the way that, which they were set out by the Buddha, it's necessary that we have companions who assist us in implementing the cure. And this is the spiritual community or the jewel of Sangha. So the medicine of the mind, which cures the illnesses of the mind, are these three higher trainings. And mainly the second, the latter two of the three higher trainings, the higher training in meditative stabilization and wisdom. And of these two, wisdom is supreme. But it's necessary as a prerequisite to these, to practice the higher training in ethics. So the methods of treatment are different than in Tibet than they are in the West. For example, a Tibetan physician, they would ask, you know, where is the illness, and perhaps the illness is spread throughout the body. So initially they want to draw the illness to one central spot. So they give it a medicine which has the potent ability to draw the illness to a central area, and then they give you a medicine which will attack that one spot and be able to remove the illness completely from its very root. So, I mean, Sylvia, maybe we can ask Sylvia, she's a doctor. Is that the way they prescribe medicine?
Yes.
So this initial medicine that they give in order to draw the illness to a central area is, I don't know what, it's called tong. I don't know what it means. And you know, you brew it up with hot water, and it's drunk. And then after that, you've taken that for a few days. Then they give you another medicine, which actually attacks the illness in a central area. And so, likewise, with respect to the three higher trainings, the real medicine is the third, the higher training in wisdom. That is to say, the realization of emptiness. But it's necessary that the illness be drawn to a central spot, as it were, and therefore, prerequisite to that, it's necessary that we develop a training in meditative stabilization, and prerequisite to that, the tong of the higher training in ethic. So, as you know, the illness is of the mind, and the main remedies are the latter two higher trainings, meditative stabilization and wisdom. But preliminary to actually getting at the mind itself, we have to practice the prerequisite of ethics, in that we have to overcome the three unskillful, for example, the three unskillful actions of the body and the four unskillful actions of the speech. Before we can get to the mind, we have to practice the ethics which removes these ills, and then we can get to the central illness by means of the latter two higher trainings. And with respect to ethics, there are the eight types of vows which can be taken. Such types of vows as the male and female lay persons vows, the 24-hour vow, the prerequisite novice, the preliminary novice nun vow, the novice male, the novice nun and monk vow, and the fully ordained nun and monk vow.
Then you
So, you know, briefly, it is necessary in order to remove the ills of the mind to practice the three higher trainings, the higher training in ethics, meditative stabilization, and wisdom. But unless we go for refuge, then we cannot engage in these practices. And without the refuge, there's no way that we can eliminate the inhibitory conditions. Because without ethics, then there's no way we can go on to practice the higher trainings of meditative stabilization and wisdom. So as a preliminary, it's necessary that we go for refuge initially before we're able even to engage in these three higher trainings. So the initial practice of Buddhism is going for refuge. This is the doorway into the Buddha Dharma. So it is by going for refuge to the Dharma that we engage. We are able to practice the higher training in ethics, which is the initial method for curing the ills of the mind. So, through this practice of ethics, we are able to assume various vows, and those vows will remain stable and will remain unchanging. By going for refuge to the Buddha Dharma and the Sangha, that we we create creative potential or skillful actions equal to space. And why is that? Because of the tremendous qualities that these three refuges possess, that they are able to remove the illnesses of the mind, and therefore they have this vast potential, and they have this great these great qualities. It is due to the wonder of the power of these refuges that by going for refuge to them, by relying upon them, we accumulate immeasurable creative potential or merit. Through engaging in the practice of ethics, then we commit ourselves not to engage in the three negative actions of the body and the three negative actions of speech. by observing these commitments well, then we are ridding ourselves of the causes of suffering. It's as if, you know, if it was raining heavily and there was a leak in the roof, if we patch the roof, then no matter how hard it rains, how much it rains, it's not going to come inside. So this is analogous to our practice of ethics. By committing ourselves to abstaining from negative actions, then we are not susceptible to accumulating any further negativity. We've created a patch whereby negativities can never again enter into ourselves through our actions. And if we go for refuge to the Buddha, then we are creating skillful actions by this means, and we are accumulating vast amounts of creative potential on the one hand, and additionally, on the other hand, we are purifying, eliminating previously created negativities. So an analogy would be that during the winter in Australia, it becomes cold, and if we were in a cold room, and we turn on the heater, and this heater serves through the power of the heat given off by this heater, is able to serve two functions. One, it eliminates the coldness from the room, and secondly, no matter how cold it is outside, the coldness is not able to enter into the room. So the Dharma through our practice of going for refuge, just as in the case of the fire, the heater was able to both eliminate the heat within and prevent the external heat, cold from coming in. Likewise, by means of going for refuge to the Dharma, it is able to cease any types of external negativities occurring, our engagements in external negativities, and able to eliminate internal negativities already previously created. So through the elimination of previously created negativities and internally and the no longer creating no future creation of negativities externally, then we are not forced to take an unfortunate type of rebirth in the future, but in fact our types of rebirth will become improved, better and better and better. We have ceased all types of bad migrations or rebirths. And in this way, all our various sufferings, whatever form they may, they may take, all the various harms, hurts that we experience, all the hurts caused by enemies, our various sicknesses, our fears, all our various faults are brought about. Are stopped or cease. So by bringing about a cessation to all of these various faults, then we can bring about all that which we want. We can bring to fulfillment not only our own welfare, but the welfare of others. We can bring about the happiness of both ourselves and others. The foundation of by means of which our lineage is able to find expression is the initial practice of going for refuge. We go for refuge through going for refuge. Our potentiality of lineage is evolved by going for, having a conviction in the Buddha as the shore of the refuge, the actual refuge, the Dharma, that which is in fact eliminates our various sufferings and brings us, is able to, has the potential to bring us happiness. and the spiritual community or the Sangha, those who assist us in our practice and in implementing the Dharma in our life. It is by these means that we are able to eliminate all our various faults and bring to consummation all excellent qualities. And therefore, in order that our lineage is able to find expression, initially we must practice going for refuge. So in the beginning of all our teachings, this is why we recite the verse of going for refuge in the generation of the altruistic intention. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the highest assembly. From the virtuous merits that I collect by practicing, given the other perfections, may I attain the state of a Buddha to be able to benefit all the sentient beings. We go for refuge, and then we go on to develop mind generation, because that is to say, the awakening heart, because this is a universal vehicle practice. So though the words "I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, Dharma, and the highest assembly," they're only two sentences, but in fact they include all of the practices of the individual vehicle, the universal vehicle, and the vehicle of secret mantra. So, you know, if we were to discuss these two sentences extensively, it would take months. That the meaning in containing these is contains all the practices of the individual, universal, and secret mantra vehicles. This practice of going for refuge is extremely important. It's tremendously beneficial, and it's of great benefit. It is the preliminary. It is the initial practice of of Buddhism. It is the essence of Buddhism. You know, the word that's, you know, we talk about the three jewels. The actual word is for jewels is supreme rarity, literally translated. You know, there are many things. There are many things in the world which are rare, but amongst all the rare, these rare things, these are the supreme rarities. So there's in Tibetan, there's an, you know, I said that what the word is, which is generally translated as jewel, actually literally it's made of two syllables, which are literally supreme rarities. And there's another word which sounds like, in Tibetan it sounds like this word which is translated as supreme. So another explanation for these syllables, when using this word which sounds very much like the word which is normally used, is that, you know, it's as if, you know, of all your possessions, you know, you have, this is the best one. You know, it is this, you know, you hold this as the most valuable of all your possessions. It is this, without this, I die. You know, so it has that kind of sense. Without this one, I would die. It's the best of everything that I have. Of all the things I have, this is the one I have to have. So this phrase in Tibetan, which we're trying to get the sense of across what it means, is if somebody had an item which was worth $100,000, and you know that I have nothing more precious than this. You know, whatever happens, whether I has to remain with me. That kind of sense. I have to have this thing. So So for this person, there's nothing more valuable, there's nothing worth more than this one item. And likewise, within Buddhism, that which is essential, of most importance, are these three jewels. There is nothing higher, more, nothing of any more value, and there is nothing which this, without this, there is no Buddhism. So we've been discussing lineage and how to allow our lineage to find its expression, that we have to first appreciate the potential that we do have, and in order to evolve that potentiality, to actualize that potentiality, then it's necessary to practice. And the initial practice is the going for refuge to the three jewels. By means of abandoning the various types of negativities, initially in terms of ethics, of the three unskillful actions of body and those four of speech, then we, and engaging in the various types of skillful actions. Through this we begin to generate excellent qualities and remove the inhibitory conditions of negative qualities. And these excellent qualities begin to act like a fire, in that they do not allow, you know, just as in the case of where the cold which is without is not allowed to enter, and likewise the cold which was in is eliminated. Likewise, all our various previously negative actions are eliminated, and we no longer engage in various types of negative actions externally. And it is by this means that we, by this means of developing these excellent qualities, no longer engaging in any new negativities, eliminating all the various previous negativities, that we achieve a state of happiness bereft of any type of suffering, that we bring our happiness to complete fulfillment. So we're going to stop there, but if you have questions, we'll spend 5 minutes. Yeah. Lula Miguel Sun, Nala Miguel Shi, Karakare. So the three unskillful physical actions are to refrain, are killing, and to these are to be abandoned. So abandoning killing, whatever the living being might be, whether it's great or small, even down to an insect. The second unskillful action is that of stealing, that is to say, taking that which is not given. And third, physical unskillful action is sexual impropriety, and that would be, for example, having a sexual relationship with someone else's spouse. And then the four verbal unskillful actions. The first one is that of lying. That is to say an untruth in order to trick someone else, in order to deceive another person, saying something is when it isn't, or saying it isn't when it is. Then the second is divisive speech. That is to cause a split between two previously harmonious people. For example, between a parent and their child, or between two friends, speaking to one and saying, this person said this bad thing about you, in order to cause a division between them. The third is hurtful speech. And that is the types of speech when others hear it, it causes pain to their mind. And fourth is idle chatter, types of speech which are meaningless and simply a waste of time, ways of talking which are meaningless and a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.